The recording has begun.
Thank you, Sean. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's RAA Sub-Team B call on Monday the 10th of May. We have Steve Metallitz, Holly Raich, Michele Nalon, Siva Mutasami, Steve Metallitz. From staff, we have Glenda Sangeri, Heidi Ulrich, David Geiser, Margie Milam, Marika Konings, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tatiana Kramsova, and Staten Hammock. I haven't left anyone off the list. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Steve.
Okay. Thank you very much. And thanks, everyone, for joining the call. We have a pretty extensive agenda here, which is listed on your screen and was circulated last Thursday, I think.
Yep.
So, and we'll expand some of these items a little bit since we now have had a couple more versions of the initial draft report circulated. But let me ask if anybody has any additions or changes to the agenda. Okay, if not, we'll proceed with item two, which is the next steps bullet and resolution of our positions. The document that you see up there, I mean, there have been a couple of different versions of this in the past, but I think what we've got in front of us now are two different versions. One, you see a red line up there, which is Staten's markup of my 30th of April proposal. And it's pretty easy to tell since what he's done almost entirely strike-throughs. You could see what my proposal had been, so I don't think we need to put both documents up. And I think this really comes down to a single question, really. I think the only real difference between these two versions is whether we recommend that there should be observers during the negotiations on the amendments to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. My proposal provides that there would be observers representing the interests of affected non-parties to the agreement, and they would participate, but they could be excluded on a session from a particular session, that they would be consulted about whether the final draft was ready to be posted for public comment. And Staten's version just takes those provisions out and says that the negotiations will be between the staff and the registrars, and that group would report periodically, but that group would simply decide when the final draft was ready for public comment. So I think those are the two positions, and I would certainly like to open the floor to comments on them and to see if we can come to a resolution today. And, of course, if you think there are other changes that need to be made to this proposal, this is the time to bring those up. So let me open the floor at this point to any comments, either pro or con, on Staten's markup of my proposal. Holly has raised her hand. Does anybody else want to be recognized? I know not everyone has succeeded in getting into the room, so if you haven't but want to speak, just speak up. Holly, go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I would like to hear from Michaela. I noticed that he was approving of Staten's comments, so I'm assuming that he is happy with the red lines. I do understand these are contractual negotiations, and part of me, I mean the lawyer hat that I sometimes wear, the non-practicing lawyer hat, understands contractual negotiations. But I think if you, having read and understood the initial documents, or the introduction, which is the board was not terribly happy about the outcomes from the first round of RAAs and would like have liked a more open process, if they are to be closed negotiations, I think that I'd be, first of all, not necessarily happy with that, but I would want some pretty clear steps to ensure that the you know, as things are being discussed, we can at least understand what's being discussed and why things are or are not being accepted or rejected, because after all, in the end, the RAA is there not just for the protection of ICANN and registrars, but it's there also for the end users. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Holly. Any other comments on this? Well, I'll recognize myself. I think Tim has raised his hand, and I will defer to Tim and then come back. Did anybody else want to speak at this point? Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess, you know, just to respond to Holly as best I can, I guess I wasn't aware that necessarily that the board was unhappy with what had taken place. In fact, the impression we had gotten was that staff and board were actually pleased with the changes that were made and that they would make some significant improvements in the situation that arose, or that was really made evident clearly by the registered fly issues that arose. And much of what was in the first set of amendments was meant to address those kinds of problems. So I know that there were concerns and discontent expressed by some of the community as far as the way that took place and that it was behind closed doors, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why, you know, registrars agreed to this process and why we agree in the next steps to be more iterative, I guess would be the way to put it, in the way that those negotiations proceed so that the community would be involved more regularly or better at points throughout that whole process. But as far as inviting observers in, the concern with that is one, that we don't set some precedent that that third parties, you know, can come in and engage in negotiations of our contract, of our AA. That certainly is a concern, but also that as we negotiate with staff, that the group isn't inhibited in those negotiations so that things can proceed and move forward. Again, keeping that iterative process in place where there's a regular reporting back to the community as a whole and allowing them opportunity for input and feedback, et cetera. So I think it's a much better process than what took place previously. And the only place where we're drawing a line is that in negotiations we want that to be between registrars and staff, two parties to the agreement.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Christina is next, and did anybody else want to speak on this topic? Bill Corwin will be next. Anybody else? Okay, Christina, then Phil.
I just, frankly, have a problem with this. I don't see how the current proposal that has been put forward by members of the Registrar Stakeholder Group really advances the situation. I mean, we all know that one reason that this council resolution was passed was that there was an agreement by the registrar constituency to participate in developing a process and timeline for further amendments on a good faith basis. And, you know, perhaps it is my own interpretation, but if you never intended to allow or to approve of any process other than the one that got us in a position where you actually had a majority of the council voting against the original amendments, I fail to see how, first off, how that's good faith, and second, how the iterative process is really got any mechanism or aspect in place that will allow for and facilitate greater incorporation of community input than what happened last time. I mean, with all due respect, you can have numerous reports to the community about how the negotiations are going and what has been agreed on and what hasn't. But if there's really no way to take into account what other members of the community believe should happen and those topics that should be included, I just fail to see how this is really advancing the situation.
Thank you, Christina. We have Phil Corwin, and then Michaela, and then Tim again. So, Phil, go ahead. Phil, are you on the line with us?
Oh, sorry, I forgot to. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I forgot to unmute my line. When I started out, I'm saying this as an individual. I had asked for some guidance from my client and haven't really received enough since sending that out late last week to speak for them. But I guess my starting point, I understand both points of view here. I don't think this is a contract negotiation between a group of accredited registrars, the registrar constituents, and ICANN. They're the ones that are going to be bound by it, but obviously the RIA has implications for registrants and all kinds of other parties who are part of the ICANN community. And I'm comfortable with see if we can find some kind of middle ground. Obviously, we don't want to just registrars in there with ICANN staff and marching out with a fait accompli that it's just an up or down. And on the other hand, if we say there's observers, then we get into debating which groups are represented, what their role is, what their reporting requirements are. I guess I'd like to know how this would differ from the process in the past, what's being proposed here, and if we could get some more formal, if this proposal where basically registrars and staff negotiate, there's no other parties in the room, how that would be formalized so we would find out, you know, to assure other interested parties that there's really a meaningful information sharing and feedback process here where the community obviously is not a part of the negotiations that has is able to weigh in on negotiations. I'd like to hear a little bit more from the registrars why even for non-sensitive issues they would object to any even a single designated observer on behalf of the outside community being in the room with the ability to ask for executive session when they're getting into really sensitive territory. So basically I guess I'm saying that I'm trying to see if we can reach some middle ground here which recognizes the concerns of registrars, doesn't set an undesirable precedent, but gives full assurance to other interested parties in the ICANN community that they're going to be fully informed and be able to weigh in and have some influence on shaping this, or at least conveying their concerns and perspective before a final document is released.
Thank you, Phil. So you've posed some questions to the registrars, and as it happens, the next person in the queue is a registrar. So, Michaela, please, got the mic.
Right. Basically, I'd just like to support what Tim was saying. The thing with the RAA is that it was in place for a number of years. There were without any changes. So the first set of changes may not have been sufficient to satisfy everybody, so which is why it's being revisited again. And I think the document allows for a degree of feedback. I mean, if you look at point four, the negotiating group is expected to make bracketed text and/or agreed terms available for public comment and feedback. So, I mean, there is an opportunity there for people to have input into the process, which I think is sufficient.
Okay. Thank you, Michaela. I have Tim and Holly in the queue. I don't know if there's anyone else first that hasn't spoken yet that would like to speak. But if not, I don't see any other hands up. Let's go to Tim and then to Holly.
Well, you know, if registrars had intended or meant that we were inviting third parties into the negotiation process, then I'm not sure what the point of the process we're doing right now would have really been. Why not just have gone immediately into that? The whole point was that, yes, that we in good faith wanted to cooperate with the community to understand and to allow them to set up the important issues that it felt needed to be addressed or that were missed previously or whatever in this next round of amendments. I don't see anywhere in anything that we've said or done that ever indicated that we, you know, felt like we were opening up the negotiation process to the community as a whole. That it's hard for me to fathom any other situation in the contract negotiation where that would actually take place. And in all honesty, and this is my personal feeling, that the RAA was designed to set out a specific set of circumstances or a specific set of issues in which consensus policies could be established that registrars would have to adhere to without even knowing up front what those might look like or what they might require. And we agreed to that when we signed the RAA. But that was with the understanding that that's all that's going to change without our input or negotiation or agreement, not that the whole thing is going to be opened up as one big consensus policy to the whole community. That was not our understanding when we signed the RAA. I don't believe that was probably understood by any registrar who signed the RAA. And sure, so any of these issues that fall within those consensus policy, that picket fence, whatever you want to call it, within the RAA, that is open to the community. The community gets together, it forms a working group, there's work done by everyone, they're all involved, it's completely open to the public, there's, you know, consensus of all the community has to be established in order for those policies to go forward, and then when they're established, registrars are bound to them. We have to comply. What we're saying is in this case, when we're talking about issues that don't fall under that consensus policy, those are negotiations between ICANN and registrars, and we are making a good faith attempt to find out what those concerns are, and then we want to make a good faith attempt in our negotiations with ICANN staff to put something in place that's going to address those issues. That's what this process was about. This is what we intended to do. We are proceeding with good faith, and to imply that you need observers in order to ensure that we do so in good faith is just going too far. That it's nothing that has been done in the past. It's not what we agreed to. And we are willing to go however far we can to involve the community in this process by being as iterative as possible, by opening it up. And I know Phil has some questions about how that would work. Well, I don't know, but we're open to ideas about how that might work. All we're saying is that when we're in negotiations with staff, that's registrars and staff, we're the two parties to the agreement, talking about aspects of the agreement that are not open to consensus policy and community agreement before they're put into place. So that's all we're talking about. We want to proceed in good faith, but we have one stipulation. It's always been the case, and I think we should be able to work around that without any problems.
Thank you, Tim. Holly, and then does anybody else want to be in the queue? I'll recognize myself after Holly. Go ahead.
I'm going to put another hat on, which is a former project manager, and say that I've managed the development of industry codes, and the most valuable part of that is the dialogue that industry has to engage in explaining to affected parties, which is end users, explaining why something works, why it doesn't, and when both parties are together listening to each other, then both parties can walk away at least having listened and understood and been engaged in the negotiations. Now, the way this process works, and I'm, you know, very aware of what Christine said, is at the end of the day, at the most critical moment, the end user is left off and the staff are there as the only people arguing in the end for end users, and the end users can be told, well, the decision was X and this is Y, and the dialogue that actually means both sides understand each other's concerns, listen to each other's concerns, and are in the end not necessarily happy but can accept. That doesn't happen in a process that where both parties aren't talking. Now, I don't know how you fashion it, but if at the end of the day all of the hard issues are debated, discussed, decided, and then something's opened up and the final result is, oh, by the way, so sorry, the main things that you wanted just weren't agreed to, and let's start again, it's not terribly satisfactory, because at the critical moment, the end user's not there to argue a point, not there to say, why can't you do this, why can't you do it another way? And I think that's what Christine's thinking, and that's what I'm thinking. The process of on the phone, talking through things, why something is possible, why it's not possible, what changes, and so forth, let's not call it negotiation, let's call it something, but at least let's say there's an input so that at the end, both parties have to understand where the other is coming from and why something is or isn't possible. Otherwise, it's just, at the critical moment, the door shut.
Okay, thank you, Holly. I recognize myself, and I saw Michaela's hand up. Did anybody else want to be recognized? Tim? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I think Holly actually has given a very good description of the last round as far as what happened with the concerns that were raised, and we were told what was or was not possible. I think the question has been posed several times, and I'd encourage the registrars to focus in their next two interventions on this, is how is what they are proposing any different than the method that was used last time? And for those of us who felt that the method had a very unsatisfactory result, you know, there's a definition for what happens when you do the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. And I don't think that's what you want to, how you want to label this process. I'll also say, I think, Tim, you know, what you just said could certainly be looked at the other way. If we felt that there was no, at the outset of this process, that there was to be no possibility for any greater level of participation, or as Holly said, dialogue in the actual negotiation process than what we had last time, then I guess the question would be, why have you been participating? Why have the registrars been participating in this process? Why should you have any influence on what the community identifies as the priorities or what the community believes the next step should be if your goal is simply to shut the door, leave the community outside, and then have your negotiation again with the staff? It seems as though, although I think we've tried to accommodate your concerns in many areas in this process, I guess I'm just left wondering why you get two bites at the apple, we get one, you get the one that really counts. I think if we had thought that that was a foreordained outcome, we would not have been too eager to enter into this process. So let me ask Michaela and Tim, and then is there anybody else that, or is there anybody else right now that wants to speak on this?
I'd like Tim go first.
Okay. Tim, and then Michaela.
Yeah, I think we participated in this process because of the concerns expressed by everyone last time. This process didn't take place last time. So this is quite a change that, you know, we participated in a process that allowed the community to come together and identify what its primary concerns are and what it feels needs to be addressed in the RAA. I mean, that's huge right there, I thought. Perhaps not. But we participated in this process so that we could identify those things. I think for myself, at least, I didn't try to spend, you know, a lot of time influencing the community as to what they thought or what what these should be. For me, it should have been, it was the community coming together, expressing their concerns, prioritizing those things and putting them together for this next round of negotiations. And I didn't feel that, you know, making a lot of comments or arguing with anyone over those issues and things was really my place, because these are concerns that the community was trying to pull together. And this is a process that did not take place last time. Last time, also, we had nothing in place that guaranteed at all that there would be breaks in negotiation and community involvement, and that's what we're suggesting at this point, that we formalize that process so that there is a more informative or more information coming forth to the community as these negotiations progress as to where they are, perhaps as to what sticking points are, those kinds of things, to allow input and feedback from the community. That did not happen on a regular basis or very well at all in the last round. So that's a big change. But, you know, you're right. We're not inviting, you know, we're not changing in our view of inviting anyone into the negotiation process. And you know, in regards to what Holly was saying, you know, everything she said was true in regards to the consensus policy issues that we agreed to that when we signed the RAA. We did not agree to the whole agreement being opened up to the same kind of process when we signed on. That's just not provided for. So, you know, the community may like that. They might want to have it addressed that way or dealt with that way. But what we're saying, at least what I'm saying, is that, you know, there's got to be a line somewhere to where there's two parties to this agreement. It's ICANN and the registrar, and there are aspects that are between us and that will be negotiated between us. And what we're saying is those aspects are those things that did not fall under consensus policy. So, yeah, we're drawing a line in the sand, so to speak, because we feel it's necessary in order for us to be able to have, you know, continuity of our business, to be able to have something we can count on, an agreement that isn't going to change continuously without any input from us, or regardless of our input. And we've already agreed to a huge number of things that can be defined as falling under consensus policy that can proceed whether we participate or not, and that can result in policy, basically regulation, that we're going to be required to adhere to whether we like it or not. So I think what Holly has said is true, but there's a line as to what that applies to. And when we're talking about things over that line, we want to deal with it differently. But I still think the process we're proposing is a big improvement over last time, and that what there is right now is there's just a pre-assumption that's not going to go well, or it's going to be bad, or we're not going to proceed in good faith. And so, you know, the third parties like to invite themselves into the negotiation process. I think the assumption should be that given everything we've done up to this point indicates we are trying to proceed in good faith. We do have good faith intentions, and to allow this process to move forward without getting stalemated here over this issue.
Okay. I hope we're not going to get stalemated over this issue either. I have Michaela and then Christina. And did anybody else want to be heard? If not, we'll try to wrap up this. Michaela, go ahead.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, for the last few months, both myself, Tim, and Staten have been doing our best to engage in this group and the other sub team with regards to these proposals and changes and everything for the RAA. I mean, the thing is that ultimately, it's not in our interest. Or at least, I mean, speaking for myself, it's obviously not in my interest that we do something which has a detrimental effect on end users. That's not going to help us. I mean, ultimately, registrars are in business. If we were to set out to do something which was inherently harmful or evil or bad or whatever to our users, clients, customers, whatever you want to call them, then ultimately our business models would all fail. But I would agree strongly with Tim. I mean, on most of the points that he's raised. I mean, we're more than happy personally to see what people would like us would like to see changed, and to see whether that's feasible or not. However, not all all changes that people might like to see are going to happen overnight. I mean, it's I'm just a little bit confused by some of the comments I'm hearing from people. I mean, it may somebody may wish for something which may not be achievable regardless of who's sitting where. And, you know, I think it's, you know, we have acted in good faith to date. So I don't really understand where this fear is coming from. I wasn't involved in the last RAA negotiation, so I can't speak to that, I'm afraid. Tim was. So, yeah.
Thanks.
Not much else I can really say.
Thank you, Michaela. Christina, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, you know, the point of disagreement that I have with Tim's whole position is that, you know, that would be arguably correct if that was all the council chartered this drafting team to do, would be to identify topics on which further action in the form of amendments would be desirable, maybe desirable, and flag topics that may require further analysis. But that's not all they asked this working group to do, and that was an intentional decision. And the intentional decision was to ask the drafting team, sorry, I elevated us to working group inadvertently, to propose the next steps for considering such topics. So unless we are proposing next steps for considering these topics and proposing them in a way that will have an appreciably improved prospect for community input, which at this point I'm still, you know, I'm still not getting it, how this process that the registrar members have proposed is going to be all that different in terms of, you know, the negotiation. You know, unless we and until we actually propose those next steps, we haven't completed the mission. So, Tim, you know, that's really the point that you and I diverge on.
Okay.
And can I just respond to that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know that, Christina, but what we're saying, and I know this is a huge issue, but what I'm saying is we're open to any ideas except where it's going to invite others into the negotiation process or into the room when negotiations take place with staff. That's the only place we're drawing the line. I know that's a huge issue with some, but I don't know where we never intended to give the impression that that was, you know, part or that was open for discussion. And, I mean, that's the only place that we're actually drawing a line. Otherwise, sure. And my fear is that if, you know, this group could certainly decide, well, they're going to recommend it anyway, and it could go to council, and council could even vote on it and say, yeah, that sounds like good to us. That doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. You know, registrars are pretty, you know, have taken a pretty strong stance about this, so I don't know where it would go from there. But I'm afraid that we'll throw this whole process off track if we want to go there. So if there's any way we can come to some agreement to make this work for everyone, to make them feel more comfortable without having to actually be present in the room when the negotiations are taking place, that's all we're asking.
Okay. I think, Holly, you wanted to make a point.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to respond both to Tim and to McKenna and Christina. Michaela, you were coming closer. I think what is missing in the proposed process is at the end of the day, there's not a dialogue that says that a registrar can say, look, great idea, can't possibly do it for the following reasons. Communities can say, these are our concerns, how do we address them? And there is a dialogue to actually reach an understanding. It's maybe if you, a shift in the way things happen so that at the end there is not simply a dismissal of consumer views. I appreciate that Michaela is not wanting that, but I think what this process, this series of telephone conversations has done is allow dialogue to say, these are our concerns, registrars to say, well, can't be done this way, maybe it can be done this way, or won't happen in 5 years because. It's a dialogue that both sides actually respect the views of each other, can accept the views, and you can move forward. The problem with having a closed negotiation is the dialogue's missing. So if you can find a process that says somewhere in that loop there has to be a continuing conversation that recognizes that this is also about the end user and the registrants, then we can work toward that process. But the trouble with negotiation is there are only two parties there, and the third party is outside the door, not understanding the negotiation, not understanding why things are agreed to or not. And it would be really helpful if we put back into a process a way of keeping all of the parties informed, having people understand each other's views, why something's important or why it can't be done. Now, maybe we don't wind up at the negotiating table, but I certainly don't want the door closed. I'm not sure how that process will work, but maybe we need to work that through.
Okay, I see Phil has his hand up. So, Phil, did you have a comment you wanted to make? Or is that, just, is that hand up from an earlier? Still on mute.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, speaking for myself, because wasn't able to get full guidance from my group. And my group, of course, I represent professional registrants, but I also represent companies which own their own portfolios of domain names and operate registrars. So we're on both sides of this CICA. So I'm going to be very careful what I say. I want to start by saying I know Tim and the other registrar representatives in this group and other members of the registrar constituency. I have absolute confidence in their good faith. I understand their concern about setting a precedent where third parties who won't be bound by an agreement are in a negotiating room. I believe I'd like to hear Tim or others speak that this is different than what happened, what they're proposing at least, although it needs to be fleshed out, is different than what happened in the wake of RegisterFly, where there wasn't this reporting back. And I'd like to suggest that if we could flesh out what's point four in this document, really is point three, because point three has been eliminated, and get to the mechanics, the process of how those periodic status reports would be prepared, how comprehensive they would be, how regularly they would be made available, and speaking to Holly's concern, if we could maybe at ICANN meetings, or maybe we do a public forum in between them, the way things were done on the IRT report and trademark issue last year, where there is an open dialogue process where interested parties have an opportunity to have what's going on explained to them and why things are at that state, and a chance for feedback, maybe fleshing out that reporting and feedback process, given what appears to be a very hard position by the registrars that they draw the line at having third parties in the room, is the way to square this circle, are my thoughts at this point.
Well, thank you, Phil. Yeah, I think it's clear that the registrars, in Tim's words, have drawn a line in the sand on this and will not consider anything that involves observers. And also, as others have pointed out, our job is to try to come to a recommendation on this if we can. We're not a working group, so we don't necessarily have to follow the typology of the methodology for making decisions in a working group, but if we did, I guess I would probably at this point say there is strong support for having observers, but significant opposition. And so if we can't move beyond where we are now, that's certainly how I would propose to characterize it, because I know it's only the registrar representatives who are very forcefully and articulately drawing this line in the sand and saying they won't accept observers. I think the other speakers are generally supportive of having observers, but I think there's also some interest in seeing if we can, you know, taking Tim up on his offer of anything but observers he would consider, you know, whether there's any chance of doing that. The problem, of course, is that our time is running out quickly, and so we have to move to try to flesh that out. I mean, I'll just mention two things here. I mean, first of all, the only change that was made to what was that Statton's amendment made to four was to take out monthly. So evidently, he felt anyway that monthly reports from the negotiating group would not be appropriate. But we could talk about what the frequency and structure of those reports would be and see whether that is something that would be acceptable to both sides. And the other thing, I mean, you know, if you want to know what's going on in the negotiation, the best way, and Tim, if you don't want observers in the room, how about recording the negotiations, putting up the MP3? Would that be better from your perspective? I think if I were in your shoes, I would say no. I would rather have, you know, informed observers who might be able to contribute constructively to the process rather than, you know, put everything on a MP3. But if you're not, if observers is a red line for you, maybe that's an appropriate alternative. So I guess the only thing I was hoping that we could come to a resolution on this today, and I guess I will say that if we don't move it any farther than this, my feeling would be that we would say there is strong support but significant opposition to the proposal for observers. But I think if we can come to some agreement over the next few days on the list that will that both sides are willing to accept, then obviously that would be even better, I guess, if we can come to such an agreement. So unless there are any other comments on this, I'd like to ask that we try to use the list over the next few days to come up with any other ideas, and I would ask the registrars if they can come forward with anything to please do so, other than just lining through what we've proposed. If you could come up with any ideas about how to do this, I think people there's certainly a willingness to listen to those. The next item we have on our agenda are the concerns about Annex F, which actually I think in the most recent iteration of the initial draft report has become Annex H. Our yes. Annexes are growing or proliferating. But I know Staten had a strong concern about this, and let me just ask in his absence whether Tim or Michaela can articulate what that concern is and what you propose should be done about it in terms of this staff report. Is there anyone from the registrar side that wishes?
Well, if I have it correct, find H, but I don't. It's the one that the staff offered that we had concerns with as regards.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
14.
Yeah, I don't think there's really been any resolution to that. I mean, what our concern was in there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that the statement the staff made that registrars were not. It was not necessary to have negotiations with registrars or something of that nature. And we took issue with that. We've the executive committee, the registrar's constituency, actually sent a letter to staff asking for a discussion and clarification, and to my knowledge, that hasn't taken place yet. So it's, you know, I mean, and that's another issue with this whole process is if, you know, there isn't even agreement between the two parties involved as to what's supposed to take place here, that's, you know, that throws another wrench into the works. That needs to be resolved at some point in order to know, you know, what next steps are actually viable. And if, you know, according to what staff says, the arguments the registrars make are then, you know, either here nor there, right? So that's you know, the main concern with that.
Okay.
And I don't know where we are in getting that resolved between us and staff.
Okay, so you're referring to this paragraph. It's I guess the top of page 2. Although the RAA does not require a negotiation with the registrars, the process adopted for the 2009 round of amendments included multiple rounds of negotiations between staff and registrars followed by public comment periods. Including a negotiation process with the registrars enabled ICANN to understand how the registrars would be impacted by the proposed amendments. So that's the main concern you guys have flagged, right?
Right, right.
That paragraph. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm glad to offer if the staff wants to respond to that, that's fine. I don't really see how this would really affect our report because this is what the staff memorandum said. I understand that registrars are unhappy with it, but unless and until they were to come to some other agreement on this, I'm not sure. There's nothing we can't. Unless you're saying we shouldn't include the staff memorandum in the report, I guess that would be one way of dealing with it. I don't know that that's actually what you're asking that we do.
Well, I think if it is included, then I think, you know, the registrars may want to include a, I don't know if you'd call it a minority statement at that point or not.
Well, you certainly
at least an alternate view, you know, of that.
Yeah.
And our concern is how it will affect the process going forward. You know, because it could affect it significantly, and or is it going to drive us to, you know, to having to get some separate legal opinion as to how, you know, that's supposed to be interpreted or what? So that's our concern, is just where that statement's going to lead and how we're going to get that worked out. But if it's included in the report, I think that's fine. But we may want to include an alternative view as well.
Okay, Margie had her hand up. Margie.
Actually, I would agree with Tim, because obviously what we put in our memo, we believe, and we just have a disagreement with the view that the registrars have taken, and probably the most appropriate thing to do is to have a minority position explaining why they feel that the interpretation is incorrect.
Okay, well, then we're going to leave that there, I think, and so... So presumably the registrars will be sharpening their pencils, and they will circulate what they would like to have included in the report, commenting on NX, F, or H, whatever it is. So I think we'll leave it there unless and until we hear otherwise from the registrars and the staff on this. Okay, let's talk about the remainder of the initial draft report. Just to briefly recap, since our last call, I circulated a draft on Thursday.
Yep.
That attempted to reflect some of the discussion on our last call on Monday about some areas that needed to be fleshed out in the report. I asked for any comments on that by Thursday. On Monday I said, if there are any comments on the initial draft report. There were none. Mine was put forward on Thursday, which was the deadline that was set. After that, we got a second version from Margie, which I'll ask her in just a moment to walk us through that very briefly. But I think most of the changes there had to do with integrating the sub-team A material, which, to be honest, I haven't even really looked at, and I don't really have any sense of what's been going on in sub-team A. So I'm just deferring on that. And then Staten circulated just a couple of hours ago a markup of Margie's version that was marking up mostly the material that I had added and in some other areas as well. And I'm sure people haven't really had a chance to look at that. But that was kind of that's the play-by-play at this point. Margie, did you have anything you want? Have I correctly characterized what your draft did?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if I comment, I essentially added in the work of the sub-team A regarding the Registrant Rights Charter, and I've shared it with that group, and we'll probably schedule a call next week just to make sure they're okay with the characterization of the discussions. The other thing I did was just elaborate on some of the information that was included regarding the law enforcement recommendations. I think I added like a paragraph, introductory paragraph related to that, and you did provide some comments on that, which I think your change was fine. So that was essentially it. I think the other thing I did was update the list of members of the drafting team. I decided to consolidate it all into one as opposed to the various sub-teams that seemed to make it more complicated.
Okay, let me just open the floor for comments at this point, recognizing that people haven't had a chance really to look at Staten's draft, but I certainly welcome any comments that people have on my edits or on Margie's material. And I've got Michaela. Did anybody else have any comments that they wanted to make? I'll recognize myself after Michaela. Go ahead.
Thanks. I did actually get a chance to go over Staten's edits. I mean, basically, he hasn't made any huge changes. A lot of them would be just kind of cleaning up and clarifying some things, and also removing some smaller ambiguities, I suppose, would be one way to classify them. So I think Staten's one kind of takes what you'd all done so far and kind of improves on it a little bit more. So that's the version I'm kind of looking at most at the moment.
Thank you. I'll put myself in the queue now, but does anybody else want to offer any comments on these drafts? Okay, I just had a couple of comments. First, Margie, I getting back to what you consolidating the list of drafting team members, in other words, putting some team A and some team B together, I would suggest that we try to keep those a separate list simply because, you know, I don't think that the people on sub-team A necessarily want to be responsible for just responding to our 100-and-some page matrix or whatever and vice versa. So I think it would be useful if we could keep those lists separate, just so people will know who was involved in doing which one. I think that's really what's important here. And I understand there will be an attendance list also, but I would recommend that. Second, one of the things I saw that Staten had done is he said he struck the references to register fly because he said, you know, you can't assume that everybody actually knows what happened in the register fly situation, even though that is what kind of gave rise to the last exercise of amending the RAA. And I agree with him that not everyone will know that, but I think it's very important for us to recognize that it was a, you know, meltdown of a registrar that led to that last time and to the whole concern, you know, the uplifting of the concern about registrants' rights and so forth. So I think we do need to reference that. And I guess I tried when I was doing my draft to see if I could find a link to, I dimly recall that there had been a page about, you know, kind of an information page about register fly back in 2007 when it was a very hot item. And I wasn't able to find it. So maybe I would ask the staff if they could try to locate that URL that would give people who weren't familiar with the situation a little better sense of what it was that gave rise to the last round of amendments. So those were two comments that I had off the bat. Michaela? You have your hand up again?
Yeah, I think the page you're referring to was released, was put up during the meeting in Lisbon, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But the problem was that in some respects it was a little bit loaded.
I'm sure that would never happen with an ICANN web page, but, you know. Let's try to find something anyway that will give people, you know, maybe there's even a page from the 2007 ICANN annual report or something that will reference this and give links or something. But I think it is important to include that if we can.
That's feed me a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Margie.
It's Margie. Yeah, I think there is something when we did all the work in 2007. So I'll go ahead and try to find something to refer to in the report.
Okay, great. And I see Michaela has sent us a link, so maybe that's a place to start anyway.
There was another page which was like a statement by ICANN.
Okay.
I mean, part of the issue with registrar-fly, which was that ICANN basically disavowed all responsibility because ICANN claimed that they had never accredited registrar-fly.
Okay. Well, let's see if we could find. Maybe there'll be a couple of sources, a couple of links. We just need a press report in there too, or something. Talks about what was happening. As I recall, there was a lot of press at the time. Did anybody else have any comments to make on any of the versions of the initial draft report? Okay. Well, again, this is going to be something that we will really need to advance on the list. I think we're actually pretty close. If you leave aside the next steps, I think we're actually pretty close on the initial draft report. Again, I'm going to have to look at Staten's comments, and I think there may be a number that will look fine to me anyway. But I encourage everybody to take a look at those. I think there are a few where I would push back a bit, but I don't think there's any real show. I don't know if there are any showstoppers there. So let's see if we can come to closure on as much of the initial draft report as possible prior to next week, and let's also see if next week, between now and next Monday, we can come up with any ideas for bridging this gap on the next steps. And I will say, just to make my position clear, that I'm still supportive of having observers. I think it's for the reasons that have been stated by a number of speakers, it's far preferable to the proposal that was put forward by Staten. But I understand that people feel strongly on the other side too, and that they have are open to considering other ways of trying to address this problem. Let's see if we can come up with any. I put a couple out on the table just during this call. I don't expect people to react to them immediately, but I would really appreciate seeing reactions on the list, and let's see if we can move this dialogue forward. Okay, our hour is almost up. We haven't talked about our Brussels planning, but I don't think, unless there is something new to report on that from the staff in terms of scheduling, and I guess I'm asking the staff if there is anything new to report. Christina has raised her hand, but let me recognize Christina and then go to the staff. Go ahead, Christina.
No, I mean, it was just following up on your question, namely whether the time for the workshop on Monday and the presentation to the council, and I'm assuming there will be one, whether those time slots have been set yet.
Okay. Does staff have any information on that? Because at least I certainly don't.
Yes, Margie. I've seen a draft schedule of Brussels. I don't think it's final by any means, but it looks like it's not going to be on Monday. And the last I saw is that it's going to be on Wednesday right around noon. Let me look at the time. But for some reason, they weren't able to find time for it on Monday.
That's a serious problem from our perspective for two reasons. One, the law enforcement people will be able to participate on Monday but not on Wednesday. And secondly, if there's any link here to what the council does, which may or may not be the case in Brussels, that you're talking about a meeting after the council meets, so it would be kind of pointless in terms of advising the council. So I wonder who we could go to try to get that decision looked at again. Do you know?
No, I don't know. Too bad Cheryl's not on the call, because I believe a lot of the leaders of the various groups had influence on this issue. I'll try to find out. Just so you know, right now it's scheduled for Wednesday 2 to 3:30.
I'm sorry. This is
go ahead.
I had understood that one of the goals here was to not only have law enforcement personnel attend, but to also enable a wide spectrum of folks who were planning to come in for the Monday morning to attend as well. I just don't think a lot of those people can stay until Wednesday. And I'll get in touch with Chuck, but I had understood, perhaps incorrectly, that this session was essentially going to take the place of the usual AXO session, and that we were going to develop it in such a way so that it could essentially meet the quote-unquote requirements that those previous sessions have taken place. But I just think Monday, well, never mind. If you want to kill a session, have it Wednesday.
Well, you know, this is a problem we often encounter in scheduling the sessions at ICANN meetings. Not simply that there's a lot of competition for a few slots, which is true, but that basically somebody stands behind the curtain and makes these decisions, and no one ever knows who it is that decides these things. I've been to over 30 ICANN meetings, and it's just one of those life's enduring mysteries. So I guess we'll just have to send out a all-points bulletin and try to get some other people involved who can help to reverse this decision, if indeed that's the one that's been taken. Margie, did you have your hand up again?
Yeah, and I just wanted to clarify, it is a draft, so certainly, you know, getting as many people involved as possible will help, because it's not final by any means. I'm just sharing what I learned this weekend, and I don't have any insight as to why it ended up that way. Okay. I've been communicating internally about the need for this to be the joint AXO meeting and all of the, you know, things we've been talking about. So I just, you know, I don't have anything to report other than I think it is important for, you know, Christina and Cheryl and others to raise concerns about it.
Okay. Well, let's encourage them to do that as well. Okay, we are past our time. Is there any other business that people wish to raise on today's call? If not, we will meet again next Monday, or if this is Tuesday for you, next Tuesday.
Yes.
At the same time. Yes, thank you, Holly. We appreciate your pre-dawn participation.
It's now light.
Now light. That's good. The sun has risen. In any case, we will we'll be back here next week, but in the meantime, we do have a lot of work to do on the list, so without reiterating it once again, I just encourage everybody to be as active as possible, see if we can get this as close to the finish line as possible for the initial report next week. Unless there's anything else that people wish to bring up, I'll thank everybody for their participation, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, everyone. Bye. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
No worries. Cheers.